ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is first canto, chapter 13, entitled Dhritarashtra Quits Home. And we're on text 17. Okay.
Evam griheshu saktanam pramatanam tad ihaya atyakramad avigyata kala paramadustarah evam griheshu saktanam Pramatanam tarihaya Atyakramadavigyata Kalak paramadustarah Kalak paramadustarah Evam griheshu saktanam paramatanam tadihaya pramatanam tadihaya atyakrama ravigyata kala paramadustaraha Saktanam Pramatanam Tarihaya
Evam. Those. Griheshu.
In the family affairs.
Saktanam. Of persons who are too attached. Pramatanam. Insanely attached. Tad ihaya. Engrossed in such thoughts. Atyakramat. Surpassed. Avigyata. Imperceptibly. Kala. Eternal time. Parama. Supremely. Dustara. Insurmountable. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Insurmountable eternal time imperceptibly overcomes those who are too much attached to family affairs and are always engrossed in their thought. Purport. Quote, I am now happy. I have everything in order. My bank balance is quite enough. I can now give my children enough estate. I am now successful. The poor beggar, sannyasi, depends on me. But they come to beg. Oh, I'm sorry. The poor sannyasis depend on God. This thing is sort of blinding me. But they come to beg for me. Therefore, I am more than the Supreme God. These are some of the thoughts which engross the insanely attached householder who is blind to the passing of eternal time. Our duration of life is measured, and no one is able to enhance it even by a second against the scheduled time ordained by the Supreme Will. Such valuable time, especially for the human being, should be cautiously spent, because even a second passed away imperceptibly cannot be replaced, even in exchange for thousands of golden coins amassed by hard labor. Every second of human life is meant for making an ultimate solution to the problems of life, namely repetition of birth and death, and revolving in the cycle of 8,400,000 different species of life. The material body, which is subject to birth and death, diseases and old age, is the cause of all sufferings of the living being. Otherwise, the living being is eternal. He is never born, nor does he ever die. Foolish persons forget this problem. They do not know at all how to solve the problems of life, but become engrossed in temporary family affairs, not knowing that eternal time is passing away imperceptibly and that their measured duration of life is diminishing every second, without any solution to the big problem, namely repetition of birth and death, disease and old age. This is called illusion. But such illusion cannot work on one who is awake in the devotional service of the Lord. Yudhisthira Maharaj and his brothers, the Pandavas, were all engaged in the service of the Lord Sri Krishna, and they had very little attraction for the illusory happiness of this material world. As we have discussed previously, Maharaj Yudhisthira was fixed in the service of the Lord Mukunda, the Lord who can award salvation. And therefore he had no attraction even for such comforts of life as are available in the kingdom of heaven, because even the happiness obtained on the planet Brahmaloka is also temporary and illusory. Because the living being is eternal, he can be happy only in the eternal abode of the kingdom of God, Paravyoma, from which no one returns to this region of repeated birth and death, disease and old age. Therefore, any comfort of life or any material happiness which does not warrant an eternal life is but illusion for the eternal living being. One who understands this factually is learned, and such a learned person can sacrifice any amount of material happiness
to achieve the desired goal known as Brahma Sukham, or absolute happiness. Real chance intentionalists are hungry for this happiness. And as a hungry man cannot be made happy by all comforts of life minus foodstuff, so the hungry man for eternal absolute happiness cannot be satisfied by any amount of material happiness. Therefore, the instructions described in this verse cannot be applied to Maharaj Yudhisthira or his brothers and mother. It was meant for persons like Dhritarashtra, for whom Vidura came especially to impart lessons. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāya. Om ajñānita mirandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshunitam jinitasma sivirayama. Mukham guru divācālam pankangam kāyate girim yarkīpatam mande sivirayam dīnitāranam. Samanam namāram sīcaitanya ishvaram. So, we've been leading up to this point, there's been some very wonderful things said about Mahatma Vidura. And now we're going to get a chance to hear from him. As we, Śrīla Prabhupāda pointed out in a previous verse, Bhavavidha Bhagavata Stirta Bhuta Swayam Bhivo Tirtha Kurvanti Tirthani Santakstina Gadabrata, that the pure devotees are so powerful, so potent, that wherever they go, even the holy places, typically people go to holy places just to take a bath. You see, if you go to places like Haridwar, there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pilgrims. They go there just to take a bath and then they take off. The main purpose is that they're trying to get rid of their sinful activities, their sinful karmic reactions. And a few even inquire from some of the sadhus who are there. But their main purpose is just to hurry up and clean themselves so they can go off and do whatever they want to do. And as a result, even the holy places, sometimes they become not so appealing. Crowded and sometimes unclean. The conditions are not very welcoming, even. You go there and immediately you're accosted by so many persons. They're wanting some bakshish, right? They want some donation, they want some, they'll do a quick puja for you. I did that one time. I went to Haridwar with with an urn from a relative, and we engaged one Brahmin there, and he did one a puja right on the bank there by Harkipur. Brahmagat, right there where so many pilgrims go and they dip in. So this Brahmin, he was first it started off that it was going to be just a little puja for the departed soul, and okay, you just give some donation. He was careful not to say any amounts. Just give a donation. So I gave him a small donation, and then he said, "Then, well, as part of this puja, you need to do something for the brahmanas." Okay, so I gave something for the Brahmanas. Okay, well, there's a certain number of Brahmanas that you need to feed. Okay, so I gave something for the certain amount of Brahmanas. Oh, and then you have to give something for the cows. And so I gave something for the cows. And then, all said and done, I gave him all my rupees, pretty much. But it was very... it was rewarding in the sense that at least I had done something for this departed soul, and it was amusing to be engaged by this this Brahmin. It was quite, it's actually fun, to tell the truth. But unfortunately, such places, they sometimes lose their aura, the effect that one should have when you go to such a holy place. You go there to take shelter of such a wonderful place where the lords Lord or his devotees may have engaged in some wonderful pastimes, and or there may be some sadhus there, and you take shelter of them. But unfortunately, sometimes these places they lose that the intended effect. So for that reason, sometimes the sadhus, the real sadhus, have to go to such places to purify them. They go to purify those places. They're so potent, they're so powerful that when they go to such places, actually it becomes purified. It becomes cleansed. Even they may go to other places which are full of so many tamasic activities. By them going to such holy places, or such tamasic places, I should say, and they become purified. They become auspicious, just as Srila Prabhupada, in our own lifetime experiences. Srila Prabhupada traveled to so many places, and he made those places worthy of a visit. who has any purpose to go to the hills of West Virginia? Can anyone say? There's no place. There's no reason to go there, except for what? The Vrindavan. Otherwise, there's no reason to go there. Or you go to a city like Los Angeles. For what purpose does a sane person have to come here? There's no reason. But we come here because Rukmini and Dwarka Disha are here, and because Srila Prabhupada has come and invited them to come here. Therefore, the place becomes auspicious. Otherwise, it has no real meaning for us. We don't have any interest in just going to the happiest place on earth, Orlando, and get on a roller coaster. Right? There's no purpose to it. But we go to such holy such places because the pure devotees have come there. They've engaged in their preaching work and made those places auspicious. Just like a devotee, sometimes he has to go even into the darkest places, like a bar. And I remember years ago, I don't know if the devotees do it any longer, but years ago devotees would even go into the bars during the Christmas season, and they would distribute to the drunks that are sitting there at the counter. My wife used to do this. They would go to a bar to bar, New Year's or Christmas, and they would distribute to these interesting people. It's a kind way. Interesting people who are engaged in all sorts of activities. But by their association, they become purified. So here, Vidura now is coming to Dhritarashtra, and he's about to begin instructing him. and we're going to see the value of the association of such a Mahatma, a great soul as Bidura. Because just by a little association, by his cutting words, just like here, Srila Prabhupada, he, in this purport here, his words are so cutting, and they're so direct, they're so complete. Every purport Srila Prabhupada gives is so complete and so direct. It's so cutting, it gets right to the point. Very succinct, it gets right to the point. And Vidura, he doesn't mince any words. Right? He doesn't mince any words. He goes to Dhritarashtra and begins speaking to him very straightforward, that your father, brother, your relatives, your sons, they've all been killed as a result of this fratricidal war. All your relatives are gone. And your body is falling apart in every respect. We're going to hear in some following verses how his body has become so invalid. He was handicapped from his very birth. His eyes, his vision, he's losing his vision. His hearing is going away. His memory is, his intellect, everything is diminishing. And on top of it, you're living off the remnants of those who you tried to kill. You tried to kill sons of Pandu, and now you're living in their house like some dog. And hearing all of these cutting words, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would say, that a sadhu must speak strongly. Just as we heard the other day, Nirantara Prabhu, and yesterday, Sirdas. A sadhu has to speak strongly. Sometimes the positive method, it works, but by itself, it's not as effective, he would say, in this controversial age. We can speak positively. Oh, you know, Prabhu, do like this or do like that. My dear sir, you know, try to change your diet and, you know, you don't eat this food. If you have to eat meat, eat this instead. I mean, we could try to be positive, certainly. We encourage people to engage in yoga practice or change your diet or, you know, rise early or do a little bit of meditation. These methods are certainly effective. There's no doubt. But sometimes there has to be some cutting words that you have to get right to the point, as Prabhupada gets here in the purport. You have to get right to the point. And, of course, sometimes those kinds of cutting methods, they may produce some controversy, and others may criticize, or they there may be some opposition, just as in the case of Srila Prabhupada. We see how his cutting words, I think there's one statement by himself that if they knew who this old man is, they would kill him. There's a statement by Srila Prabhupada warning like that, speaking about himself. If they actually knew what Srila Prabhupada was doing in presenting Krishna consciousness, in bringing Krishna consciousness, even to a distant atheistic or dark places, if they actually knew what he was doing, they would certainly oppose him in a serious way, just as they opposed Vidura even. Vidura, when he first spoke up, he was disrespected by Duryodhan, and he left. Okay. But now he's come back, and he's seen how what a miserable condition Dhritarashtra has come to be. What a miserable life. So he had to come and speak some very strong words. And that was the case also with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. Srila Prabhupada follows in his example in such a wonderful way that many would criticize. Srila Prabhupada comments that even his god brothers would criticize Srila Bhakti Siddhanta for his cutting words. And those persons fell down. They fell away. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually blessed him that you will be undefeated in presenting this. Your words will be undefeated in presenting this Siddhanta. He blessed him that, my son, your words, when you go out and you preach, these cutting words they may be opposed, there may be some difficulty, there may be some objection. And certainly many people objected, even wanting to kill him. Still, by that blessing, no one will be able to muzzle your fearless voice. It's very interesting. Just as, again, here in the case of Vidura, even though he was ostracized by his very family, by his own family, he came back and he began to again here speak some very, very powerful words to Dhritarashtra. Because sometimes that has to be done. Because the general mass of people, not that Dhritarashtra was some fool, but the general mass of people, the Bhagavatam explains, the general mass of people don't understand this. Therefore, the devotees have to make it their mission to go out and transmit this knowledge. It has to be their mission to some or other give an opportunity to the fallen souls of this age who are totally engrossed, as Prabhupada points out here in the purport. I am now happy. I have everything in order. My bank balance is quite enough. The poor beggar sannyasis depend on God, but I come to beg, but they come to beg for me. There's a very interesting account of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta when he went to Vrindavan. A sadhu approached him, and or not approached him, but he heard something that was being said by the sadhu. The sadhu was saying that I've been born in Rajmandal. I'm a sannyasi. I'm a Brahmin family. I'm more than even this, he said, Raghunath, who's come from a lower caste family. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, and therefore I can give blessings to him, he said like this. And when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta heard this, he immediately fasted. He began a fast with all of his disciples. They fasted, until finally this sadhu, quote-unquote sadhu, realized his offense and went to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and begged his forgiveness. And then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta broke his fast and began to honor prasadam. So, not that it's just the materialists, but even the so-called spiritualists, they develop this mentality of exclusiveness or superiority. It's which has to be, one has to therefore be very careful about that sort of association, certainly. Asat Sangyatag Ivaishnava. We avoid the association of such materialistic people, but even we're very careful about our spiritual association. And not fall into this illusion, this delusional idea. These are some of the thoughts which engross the insanely attached householder, who is blind to the passing of eternal time. The Bhagavatam explains that with the rising and setting of the sun, our days are passing. But the insanely engrossed person thinks that I have, again, I have so much family, wealth, fame, etc., etc. But such valuable time, especially for the human being, should be cautiously spent. Chanakya Pandit describes that the greatest loss is using one's time uselessly. It's the greatest loss. We can be doing so many things in the world. Oh, well, I didn't make some money this time, or I'm going to work real hard, or, you know, I didn't accomplish this particular goal, or whatever it may be. And we think, oh, I lost out. But actually, the loss is that we've used our time in such a useless activity. Because you can't buy that back, as Prabhupada points out, and Chanakya Pandit also points out, for millions of coins, you can't buy any of this back. You can't reclaim any of it. Even a second can't be reclaimed. With all the wealth available in the world, such valuable time, especially for the human being, should be cautiously spent. Because even a second passed away imperceptibly cannot be replaced. Every second of human life is meant for making an ultimate solution to the problems of life. And those problems, Srila Prabhupada points out here, is janma mrityu jara vyadhi. It's the repetition of birth and death. There are so many species of life, and if we're not careful, then we're cast into those species one after another. I was listening to a very nice discourse, and Srila Prabhupada was talking about how, and maybe it was the Sunday lecture, I can't remember now, but Prabhupada was talking about how if one lives in a very careless way and has to take on the body of a tree, then you have to again start from that tree and work your way all the way up to the human form again. It's such a long, miserable path. We don't know, again, how much time we may have, but that time should be spent very carefully. And understand that this human body, what is that? Asanapi kleshad ashadeha. One should understand that because I have this material body, I have certain miseries. They're here. They come whether you like it or not. Certain happiness and distresses of life. What is that Bhagavatam verse? Kalina sarvatra gavira rangasa. That the tasyava heto prayateto kovido na labhyate yad brahmantam upariyada. The miseries of this material body, which are superfluous. Is that correct?
Well, that's Tad Big Sargo Janatag Namiplovo.
I'm listening to my. They come of their own, they come of their own accord. And just as we may not be looking for a misery, it still comes. So, the fact is, as Prabhupada is pointing out here, the material body is subject to birth and death, disease and old age. And unfortunately, the general mass of people, they do not know how to solve the problems of life, but become engrossed in temporary family life affairs, not knowing that eternal time is passing away imperceptibly at every second. So it was a very this conversation between Vidura and Dhritarashtra is very powerful. After Dhritarashtra heard these wonderful words from Vidura, he didn't waste a moment. He immediately took off to the north and gave up his body. Just by that little bit of association, he made such an important change in his life. So, also the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement have a responsibility to spread this same knowledge, same information that Vidura is giving out of his mercy, to also spread that to the conditioned souls, to give them an opportunity to make the best use of this temporary existence that we've taken on. So we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
We have to speak the truth and we have to speak facts. But then, a few days back, in the Bhagavatam class, there was also the mention that we should speak words very palatably. Because sometimes even truth, when it's presented in a state that it's not palatable, it can have the wrong effect. So how do we balance this, Prabhu? Because you have to also speak facts, but at the same time, it has to be palatably done. Can you give any further?
I think it takes practice. Srila Prabhupada could speak very pleasing, but at the same time, Srila Prabhupada could speak very directly, and yet even the foolish person that he was speaking to, I could appreciate what he was saying. So it takes some practice. It takes realization. When the pure devotee tells the scientist that you're a fool and a rascal, and he just laughs at it, but he hears it and respects that it's coming from this saintly person, it's because there's some potency there. It comes from a realization. So it's best to preach according to your realization. We don't try to be something that we're not. Try to talk to some educated person who may be beyond our approach. We don't have the enough information on how to address a certain impersonalist idea or a certain even scientific idea. So one has to also be sensitive to preach according to your realization, according to your capacity to affect a person. But my answer would be you just have to practice, and then Krishna will give the intelligence in how to affect a certain person. Archita, you have a comment on that?
Thank you for a wonderful class, Nakana Prabhu. Prabhupada set the example in all of this. Preach using the simple analogies that he gave us. Like anybody, no matter how educated or uneducated, can relate to a fish out of water. So you tell him, my dear sir, you're not this body or spirit soul, you're like a fish out of water. No matter what you get, like this verse says today, you have so much bank balance, this and that, it's all useless. Because you won't be happy by that, you're a spiritual being. So that's direct truth, but it's palatable at the same time, because anybody can understand that. You're not necessarily telling him directly you're a fool, but anybody who's a little intelligent can realize, yes, I'm being foolish. I'm chasing after all this phantasmagoria, but the real problem is I need to be put back in the spiritual water, just like the fish out of water has to be put back in the ocean. So we use these simple analogies that anybody can relate to. Fish out of water, bird in the cage. All of these simple analogies are actually very powerful. They're coming from predecessor acharyas. And sometimes we rack our brains to come up with some new way. No, just use the same old.
Yeah, we don't have to become...
Everybody can relate to these things.
We don't have to become super creative or something.
The problem, again, is that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta also warned that you don't flatter these rich people to get their money. Tell them the truth, but again, in this way that they can relate to. Otherwise, if we're still materially contaminated, we're hankering after the big house and the big car, but yet we go in there like some big sadhu telling them you're attached, householder, then it's going to fall on deaf ears. So purity is a force. If you're pure enough like Prabhupada, who didn't want anything, he said, I came to the West to give. I didn't come here like other Indians to beg. Give me, give me, give me. No, he came to give. So if you're actually out there giving, then your words will have effect. But if you're out there being envious, I envy this guy because he's got a big house, a big car, a nice wife, and that's what I really want. But I'm preaching to him, then it's not going to be effective.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj also commented that a preacher shouldn't expect immediate spectacular progress. Sometimes when we go out and preach to people, engage in conversations, we sometimes think that we can... that we should get some immediate result. It's not like selling a book that you get $5 after a quick exchange. No, but real preaching work means to set the groundwork. His thinking was that he didn't expect immediate spectacular progress, but it was all about setting the groundwork for centuries to provide or to manifest in some fruit even centuries later, which is quite quite interesting that sometimes again we become a little too eager and expecting certain results, but really it's all about setting a groundwork, and in his words, to bear fruit centuries later. So we may not see something right now, but just the fact that those books have been distributed, that the holy name and prasadam has been distributed, centuries down the line, we don't the fruit will be there. There is no doubt about that. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you very much, Prabhu, for the wonderful class. So you were telling us the story of your experience dealing with the sadhus in India. So, I'm just wondering, this kind of pujas did by the Indian sadhus has really good effect or not?
Does it have good effect?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some piety there. For sure. You're in a holy place. you're giving some donation for some services rendered to a mode of goodness person. We don't know exactly what their motives are, but at least they're pious, they're living in a holy place, and they're offering some kind of service. So you give her some reward. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, even he would go to holy places, and the beggars would be there, and they would be doing something, and he would give them a donation. Even Srila Prabhupada did that, because this person offered some pleasing service. Srila Prabhupada even gave them a donation. So it's we go to the places, and we certainly there's some benefit, but if you want the ultimate benefit, then you go to these places with a fixed mind to engage in Krishna's service, and you search out those persons who are situated in Brahma Gyan, and you take association from them. Our real purpose is, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would say, artha pravritti. There's anartha nivritti, right? There's giving up anarthas or unwanted things in life, but there should also be artha pravritti. There also has to be realization or an entrance into one's eternal relationship with the Lord in devotional service. So that also has to be there. Anartha nivritti is not enough by itself. We're not interested in just becoming yogis and tapasvis. But we're also looking for that positive artha pravritti.
Thank you very much, Prabhu.
We'll end there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.